You want fireworks? No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. I have my share already. How was everybody's 4th of July? Good. What did you guys do? Somebody share what they did this 4th. Glacier Park. Craig. Had a fight. Of course you did. It's not 4th of July unless you have a Roman candle fight. Try to blow people up. Somebody else, what'd you guys do? Went with your sister. Cool. Somebody else? Showed-o to parades. What's that? Start car racing. Stayed home. Yes, there is value in that. Somebody else? Anybody go to the Voyager game?
Yes.
The Ginthers were there. Yeah, it was a good day. We stayed home for the morning because we were gone on vacation last week. Well, we went on a family trip to see family. I don't know if it was vacation, but got to see family, and that was good. And then we got home, and I had to mow. And mow. And then we went to the ball game. It was good. The fireworks were fabulous. Everybody still have fingers and stuff from setting off fireworks? Do you have any holes in you, Craig, from Roman candle fights? No? Good. Good. Nice. That's always wonderful. Yeah, it was good. I'm excited for today after to go to the park and celebrate the United States' 250th anniversary. That is crazy, isn't it? How many feel like you've been here the whole time? Oh, my gosh. Now, I hear that I got to listen to my buddy Brendan's sermon last week. Who were here last week? Were you blessed?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love his preaching. I could listen to him all the time. His son actually was talking. I was down having lunch with him, and his son's like, "Dad, you should just be Pastor Dave's like associate pastor." And I'm like, "Conrad ain't ready for that combo." But I'm glad that you were blessed. He is a great man, and I love his preaching. He had a great message for you, and I'm excited. We're stepping out of 1 Peter into 2 Peter now in our series walking through the letters of Peter. And I want to start off with asking this question. How many of you guys, by the show of hands, have a treadmill at home? Anybody have a treadmill? Okay. Here's the next question. Do you actually use it? If you use it, keep your hand up. There's sort of. That's right. If you use it more than a clothes hanger, right? Oh, man. You know, treadmills are a funny thing. You get on it, right? You get on it and you walk. Or if you're ambitious and an overachiever, you run, right? Have you ever seen those YouTube videos of the treadmill fails? Anybody ever see those? Oh, my gosh. Treadmills are evil. But you get on your treadmill, you walk, you sweat, you burn some calories, and you may even feel like you've accomplished something. But here's the crazy thing about treadmills is when you're finished on your treadmill, you're exactly where you started. You haven't gone anywhere, right? And as I was thinking about this passage of Scripture this last couple of weeks, I realized that that treadmill picture is a pretty good picture of what can happen to us spiritually. You can be busy with church. You can go, you know the songs, you can sing, you know them all from heart, by heart I mean. You attend Bible studies. You can even call yourself a Christian and still not be going anywhere. Still not growing. This is one of Peter's concerns as he writes his second letter. It's Peter writes like a pastor who knows his time is short, and he actually makes that reference. And I believe wholeheartedly that just like everything in Scripture, these words aren't casual words. They're not filler words. These are his final words to a Christian community. And he is deeply concerned that believers don't drift and they don't become deceived and they remain maybe spiritually stuck and they're not going anywhere. Because faith was never meant to be, it was never meant for us to sit still. Does that make sense? God did not save us to remain shallow. God did not save us and rescue us to stay immature. He didn't call us to settle for spiritual stagnation. And Peter's message in chapter 1 is simple. And it's this. God has given you everything that you need in Christ. Let me say that again. God has given you everything that you need in Christ. Not to stay where you are, but to grow, right? That's the heartbeat of this chapter, chapter 1. And it's really Peter's really calling, excuse me. He's calling us into spiritual maturity, a call to intentional growth, a call to be grounded in truth and keep moving towards Jesus. Because faith doesn't stand still. And that leads us to the first point that Peter makes in chapter 1 is God has already given you what you need, right? Let's read in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you've got your Bibles, open them up. If you've got your phone, open it up. Or we'll have it up on the screen. Isn't that a cool background? Man, that's a cool background. What? It's a real background, right on the screen. Let's read chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. Excuse me. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Peter says, by God's divine power, he has given us what we need to live a godly life. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Everything you need to follow him. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
That you need to obey him. Everybody say everything. You need to endure hardship. Everybody say
everything.
That you need to become more like him. Peter is reminding us that Christian life isn't built on what we can produce for God. It is built on what God has already supplied us through Christ. Now, that does not mean that growth is automatic, right? You've heard me say this before. I've said it a bazillion times. If I've said it once, does it mean that you can just go like this and you have scripture memorized? You can fall asleep on, put it under your pillow, and you absorb the word of God through osmosis. That's not what it means. It's not automatic. Just because you accepted Christ as your Savior does not mean that you understand the word. Does that make sense? You have everything that you need to grow, but you have to do the work, if you understand that, right? We got to do the work. It's not automatic. It just means that growth is possible. And that matters because what some believers, none of you all, but some believers live as though victory is for other people, right? It's like this whole idea of, oh, maturity is for somebody else. It's not for me. Freedom is for that person, but not for me. Peter says, no, that's not what we're saying. God has already supplied you what you need. Not because you're enough on your own, but because Christ is enough. Amen? Church growth doesn't begin with what we lack. Growth begins by recognizing what God has already supplied in Christ. Imagine with me a parent giving their teenager the keys to a car, right? And then the parent doesn't hand over the keys and then say, okay, what I want you to, here's the keys to the car. Now I want you to push the car everywhere that you go. Now that would probably make some of us parents feel a little bit more safe. I've seen some of you teenagers driving, and I was one of those teenagers, but we're not going there, right? No, when you hand them the keys, you have handed them everything that they need for the journey that they're about to go on, right? There's the keys, there's the car that has an engine, that has fuel until they're done, and then they leave it empty for you to fill again. The capability is there. They've went through driver's ed. They've passed with Mr. Carroll, hopefully. How many have had Mr. Carroll for driver's ed? Oh. Yeah, look at all that. Look around. Raise your hands if you've had Mr. Carroll. Look at how many survived driver's ed with Mr. Carroll. And you are better for it because he is very, very thorough. Yes. Right? So the question isn't, do you have what you need when you give the teenager the keys to the car? That isn't the question. The question is, will you use what you've been given? Right? That's what Peter is saying. He's saying that in the spiritual context. Many Christians live as though God forgot to give them something, right? If I only had more strength, if I've only had more faith, if I only had what that person over there has, right? They've got a great singing voice. They can play the piano. They can play the drums. They can play the bass. I mean, whatever, right? I grew up, when I was in Bible college, that was such an experience. But when I was in Bible college, studying youth ministry, and I looked at all these other people studying youth ministry, and I'm like, man, they can all preach, they can sing, they can play guitar, they look good in skinny jeans. It's this comparison thing, and I thought, holy cow, what do I have to be a youth pastor? I can't play the guitar. The only thing I can play is my nose. I can pick it or blow it. That's it. I had no spirit, I had no musical talent whatsoever. And I was an ex-bouncer and that type of person. How in the world? I don't even like people. I'm gonna stand up in front of people. This was my thought process in college, right? Only if I would have had this scripture brought to me back then, it'd have saved me a lot of grief. But we've so often as Christians, we find ourselves thinking that God didn't give us something that we needed. And Peter is saying that's not true. That dog, he's saying, that dog don't hunt, Carrie.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. If he was here today, Peter would say, that dog don't hunt, I promise. In Christ, God has already supplied everything necessary for godliness. The issue isn't God's provision. The issue is whether we will trust him and walk in what he has already provided us. And once Peter tells us God has given us everything we need, he immediately, in the next few verses, tells us what to do with it. Let's look, verses 5 through 11. Let me get a drink really quick. 5 through 11 says, in view of all of this, everybody say, in view of all of this. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, of moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with the love for everyone. Listen to this, verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting what they have been cleansed from their old soul, sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, you work hard to prove that you really are among those God called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says, in view of all of this, right? The fact that God has already given you everything that you need to live a life of godliness, in view of all of that, that phrase is important because grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. We do not grow because we try to earn God's love. We grow because we already have it. Amen? Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brother affection, and love. That's a beautiful progression when you look at it, because Peter is showing us that real faith is not just a one-time decision, right? I said a prayer, I gave my heart to Jesus, and now all this stuff is here. It's like I've already achieved. That's not what Peter is saying. It is a life that keeps being formed, right? Faith is where it starts, but it's not where it stops. And Peter isn't giving these random character traits here. He's describing what a healthy Christian life looks like as it matures. Moral excellence means I want my life to honor God. Knowledge means I want to know more about him and his truth. Self-control means I don't let every impulse lead me. Patient endurance means I keep going when life gets hard. Godliness means I want my life to reflect God's character. Brotherly affection means I care about the family of God. And love means I reflect the heart of Jesus. And Peter says the more that we grow like this, the more productive and useful that we are in our knowledge of Christ. That means spiritual growth is supposed to show up. It's part of our Christian walk. It's supposed to be visible, not perfective, right? Not performative, but real. We should be different. I should be different. You should be different. Our time, our lives should look more like Jesus the longer that we walk with him. Not, again, not perfected, not perfect, but in progress, right? I love that I've seen these t-shirts and coffee mugs that say, God's not finished with me yet, right? Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this, that he who started a good work in me will carry it out to completion. God's not done with us yet. Praise God. My wife says amen about her husband not being done. But here, she's not even looking at me. But here Peter also gives us a warning. He says, if these qualities are missing, a person is nearsighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Now, when you look that up in the Greek, that's very strong language, right? Peter is very strong in that. He's saying that spiritual stagnation isn't just a small thing, right? It's not just, it's not small. It's a big, big deal. Because spiritual stagnation leads to spiritual forgetfulness. You forgot what Jesus saved you from. You forget what he's called you to, and you forget what your life is supposed to be becoming. That's a tough one. And then Peter says, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. He's not saying that you earn your salvation, right? There's nothing we can do to earn that. He is saying, let your life reflect the reality of your calling. Because genuine faith grows. Genuine faith bears fruit. Genuine faith keeps moving forward. And Peter's words are challenging. It challenges a mindset that is common among Christians today, especially in the United States. Sometimes people think and I've been guilty of this early on in my faith, if God wants me to grow, then he'll just make it happen. Anybody ever been guilty of that thought? Just me. Man, it's just me, right? No, I'm kidding. But Peter doesn't say that. He's not telling us to just sit back and wait. He's saying make every effort. In other words, growth is not accidental, right? Nobody drifts into godliness. Nobody accidentally develops self-control. Nobody wakes up one morning with deep faith, strong character, and Christ-like love without intentionally pursuing Christ. Healthy growth happens because of intentional choices. It happens when we spend time in God's word. It happens when we spend time in God's presence and we're praying and we're seeking his face and we're having conversations with the God of the universe. That's where that growth happens. It happens when we're obedient when it's difficult, when we repent when we fail, when we're faithful in the ordinary moments of life. Peter is reminding us that while growth is empowered by God's grace, it still requires our participation. God supplies the power. We supply the pursuit. Every farmer knows that a harvest doesn't happen by accident, does it, Jim? Not by accident at all. You can have good seed. You can have good soil. You can have all the right equipment. But eventually somebody has to plant the seed, right? Somebody has to make sure the machines are working properly. You know, all these things. Someone has to cultivate it. Someone has to keep showing up and doing the work. Now, here's the cool thing. The harvest is God's gift, right? It's God's gift, but the growth still requires participation. Peter is saying the same thing is true as spiritual life. God has already supplied everything necessary for growth, but healthy faith doesn't sit back and wait. It responds and it pursues. It makes every effort to become more like Christ, and over time, that effort produces fruit that everyone else can see. And Peter knows, he knows this is important enough that he says this, I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to keep reminding you, which leads to number three. You never outgrow the need for truth. So let's look at verses 12 through 15 in 1 Peter here. Peter said, goes on and says, therefore, I will remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right if I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. I love that. I will always remind you about these things, Peter says. Even though you already know them, I'm going to remind you. And I love that. It reminds me of my house, where we say something to our sons, and we hear, I already know, I know, I know. And they don't even let you finish the statement, right? This kind of has that tone to me. Peter understands something that we all need to hear. And just because you know something does not mean that you no longer need to be reminded of that something. That's true in every area of our life. That's why we have reminders on our phone. That's why we set little alarms and notifications on our calendar so we don't forget and it reminds us of things. That's why we have to-do lists. That's why we have all these things. Because we know, right? We know, but yet we forget. I have the CRS disease a lot of times. I can't remember stuff, right? It's true in every area of our life, and it's especially true spiritually. That's why we talk about prayer so often. That's why we talk about forgiveness. That's why we talk about the cross. That's why we talk about grace and still talk about grace. That's why we constantly remind us to get in God's word. That's why we constantly are reminding, not because we're running out of things to say, but because we never outgrow the things that matter most. Peter says, as long as I'm alive, I want to keep stirring up in you these reminders. Then he says he knows his death is near. That really gives this chapter weight, right? Peter is not just teaching. He is testifying. These are the words of a man who knows he will not be here much longer, and he wants the church to remember what matters most. Never get tired of truth. Never act like reminders are beneath you. Never act like you've graduated beyond the basics, and never become casual with the word of God. Because one of the enemy's strategies, family, is not always to make people reject the truth. Hear this. Sometimes it's simply to make them drift from it. To become too familiar with it. And then, unfortunately, we become unmoved by it. Peter says, keep truth close. Keep truth fresh. Keep truth in front of you. Church, we live in a world that is full of all kinds of opinions, all kinds of voices, and all kinds of distractions and distortions, and spiritual counterfeits. So we don't need less of the truth. We need more. We need new truth. We need the fresh truth, not new truth. Old truth faithfully remembered, right? Old truth. One of the things that Charity started is when we have, how would you word it? So we have, there's a scripture that says, what's the scripture the boys are always, that you always have them recite? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be glorifying to you. So when there's mean words or unkind words or bad attitudes coming out, Charity's like, okay, say after me, let the words of my mouth and the meditation or the thoughts of my heart be glorifying to you. That's an old faithful truth, right? A lot of us should probably quote that if we're being honest with ourselves. Every time that we have a negative word to come out of our mouth, it should be combated with the word of God, the truth. I started doing that. Man, whenever we were in Idaho driving, oh. Can I just confess something? My witness does not come out when I'm behind the wheel, especially in the city. And I think some, you know, it's that old adage, don't pray for patience because God doesn't give you patience. God gives you opportunities to develop and grow patience. And he put a whole state of people in front of me to help me develop patience, this enduring patience. It's like, oh my gosh, Charity's like, Dave. And I'm like, I know. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart glorify you, God. That's a reminder that I need over and over, especially when I'm driving, right? And that leads Peter into one of the strongest reasons that we can trust what we believe, because your faith is not built on a myth. Your faith is built on something solid. Let's read verses 16 through 21. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when we received honor and glory from God the Father, when he received glory and honor from God the Father. You know what that's referring to? Mount Transfiguration, all right? Just so you know. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place. Does that sound familiar? Somebody else said that in the Bible. Does it sound familiar? Maybe in the Psalms? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Peter says, when we aren't making up these clever stories, we're not making this stuff up. We seen it. We heard it. We didn't invent this, right? We seen this. Peter is pointing back to the Mount of Transfiguration. Excuse me. He saw with his own eyes the glory of Jesus. He heard the voice of the Father with his own ears. Now, I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause really, really quick. Think about this. Who were the people that the disciples seen on the mount with Jesus? Anybody know? There was two. It was Elijah and Moses. Now think about this. Think about this, okay? Peter just says, the prophets, right? The prophets, that's Elijah. Now think about this. Jesus was fulfilling with his death, right? He fulfilled the law and the prophets. Elijah represents the prophets. Moses represents the law. You saw that encapsulated on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is saying, look, fellas, I just fulfilled this, what you have been speaking for centuries. Isn't that cool? You get that one for free. He saw the glory of Jesus with his own eyes. He heard the voice of God Almighty with his own ears. He's saying, I'm not passing on rumors. I am testifying what I saw. Christianity, family, is not built on speculation. It's built on revelation. Peter then says that because of this, we can have a greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Then he says, you must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in the dark place. What a picture. The word of God. The word of God is a lamp in the dark place. Do we live in a dark world? We need a lamp. This is the lamp. Our world is confusing. Our world is deceptive and morally blurred, spiritually noisy. So what do we need? We need a lamp. Family, we can't just stare at our Bibles. We need to be in the Word of God. We don't need more confusion, more opinions, or more shifting standards. We need a light, God's Word, to show us where we're going. Peter makes it clear that Scripture didn't originate with human ideas. Those prophets were carrying along by the Holy Spirit. That means Scripture isn't merely man's idea of God. It is God's revelation through human authors inspired by the Holy Spirit. Think about this for a minute. I don't know how many of you know much about the Bible. The Bible is unlike any other book ever written. It is a collection of how many books? 66 books written over 1,500 years by about 40 different authors, kings, shepherds, fishermen, prophets, a physician, a tax collector, and even a tent maker. It was written in three different languages across three different continents in places such like Israel, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. Most of these writers never met one another, yet the Genesis to the Revelation, their writings are a seamless story. The story of God's plan to redeem humanity through Jesus Christ. No contradictions, no complete, incomplete storyline. Many human writers, but one divine author. Many different books, 66 of them, but one breathtaking story of redemption. Family, our faith is founded on something solid and trustworthy. Because if you build your life on like feelings alone, you will drift. If you build your life on personalities, they will disappoint. But if you build your life on the truth of God's word, you are standing on solid ground. Peter's point is clear. If you want to keep growing, stay close to the truth. Not just inspiring thoughts, truth. Not just religious language, truth. Not just what sounds good for the moment, truth. Because healthy growth always stays rooted in what God has said. So let me wrap up this morning and land this plane. Amen? Peter's concern wasn't simply that believers would know more about Jesus. His concern was that they would keep becoming more like Jesus. Because the Christian life was never meant to be in park. It was meant to keep moving. The moment we become satisfied with what we are spiritually is the moment we stop becoming who God has called us to be. So church family, keep pushing forward. Keep pursuing Jesus. Don't let your faith just be settled and stagnant. Let it grow. Pursue. Pursue a faith that still grows. Pursue. God has provided you everything you need. All you have to do is pursue, right? To pursue and keep growing. Keep growing in the Word. Keep opening His book, His Holy Scripture. I would encourage you this. I will double dog dare you. I'm going to go right to double dog. This week, read chapter 1 again and say, God, just show me. God, deepen my faith. Show me something that I can chew on. Show me something. Read chapter 1 again and meditate on it, right? Not just read it like a book. Meditate on it. In the Jewish culture, the mental picture that a rabbi would give people in the Jewish schools, that meditation, it's like, and this sounds gross, it's going to sound gross, but like a cow chewing its cud, right? They chew on it, they swallow it, they bring it back up and chew on it. It's that kind of thing of meditation means to keep chewing on it, keep letting the nutrients of that word meditate in your heart. Does that make sense? I know you guys are all grossed out. Like, I don't know, regurgitate. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I know. It's really hard to live out the truth if you don't know the truth. And if the only digestion of God's word that you're getting is here on Sunday mornings, family, you're starving to death. And you wonder why you're not seeing victory. You're wondering why you're not growing and you're not moving forward. It's because you're not feeding on the Word of God, right? You're not feeding on the Word of God and letting it marinate in your soul. Let it marinate, right? Meditate on it. Does that make sense? Keep opening His Word. Keep saying yes to the work of the Holy Spirit, because every step forward towards Jesus is a step away from deception. It's a step away from all of that, and it's a step towards maturity and a life that reflects Him more clearly. Don't settle for a faith that once grew. Pursue a faith that is still growing. Bow your heads with me. Maybe you're here today and this message has revealed something in your heart. You love Jesus, but if you're honest, maybe you've become a little stagnant. Not rebellious, but maybe just stuck. Maybe your hunger for the things of God has grown dull. Maybe the Lord has put His finger on an area where He wants you to grow. And He's exposing it not to shame you, but He's revealing it because He loves you and wants you to mature. Or maybe you're here and you've been trying to grow in your own strength. Today, can I just encourage you to come back to this truth that God has already given you everything you need in Christ. This isn't about striving. It's about abiding. And maybe today, maybe you're here and your first step is to trust Jesus for the very first time, because you can't grow in a life with Christ and the life that Christ offers until you first received it. Whatever God is speaking to you today, can I just encourage you to respond? Respond. Don't stay stuck. Take your next step forward in Jesus and let Him continue the work that He's already begun in you. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray and we're going to sing together. And then we're going to go have a barbecue. Jesus, we love You. And thank You, Father, for giving us everything that we need through Jesus Christ. Thank You that our faith rests on unshakable truth of who Jesus is and what He has done. Forgive us for the times that we've grown comfortable, we've drifted or settled for less than the life that You've called us to. And by the power of Your Holy Spirit, help us to keep growing, to grow in character, to grow in truth, in obedience, and love. Anchor us deeply in Your Word, Heavenly Father. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and give us hearts that are eager to follow wherever You lead. May we leave here not just knowing more, but becoming more like Christ. Keep us from drifting. Strengthen our faith and help us, God, to walk faithfully until the day we see You face to face. We love You and we glorify You, and we pray this in the power of Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Let's sing together.